Dealing with some ship charting issues. Luckily, the ship was able to get itself to the coin hall factory. Once there, everything got all patched up. The technicians noticed a glitch in the dashboard calibration channels. There's only one place even remotely close enough to make it flying without functional dashboard systems. Sounds like we're going in blind. Hey, Lootbot, you sure you're okay flying this thing? You're pretty reliant on those dashboards, if I remember correct.
So far, so good.
No, you know what would be good? If I could actually trust you to be in the ship without you selling all my damn weed to the locals. These locals can't handle this weed. What are you even doing? You trying to incite a riot? So are you even gonna answer me or what?
Beep, beep. I thought it was rhetorical.
Yeah, right. The only thing rhetorical around here is why I got a bot that's 1 for 3 in landing ships in one piece. Let's try to make it 2 for 4 here, all right? Speaking of, are we there yet?
I don't know. That's what the dashboards are for.
You know what? You've been acting awful funny since we left that charting planet. I think I'm gonna pilot this one manual, if you know what I mean.
Planet is in range. Good luck.
You know what? I think this time we're just gonna leave the ship in orbit. That way you can't sell my weed to any locals, and I'm just gonna beam down. Yeah. We have a beamer thing. Yeah, you didn't even know that because you're a bot. I knew that though, because I bought it. Beam me down. Now.
Okay.
Ah! God, now I remember why we always land on the planets. Man, dematerializing and rematerializing is so uncomfortable. Ugh. Alright, let me get my bearings and figure out where this dashboard shop's at. Okay. Compass says we gotta go this way. So let's go this way. I'm definitely digging the vibe of this place. It's all like super futuristic and shit, but it's like a forest. Ah, this is cool. Ah, there's the shop right there. Pylon Board Shop. Nice. Hopefully the shopkeeper's home. We gotta get these dashboards sorted out. Holy moon money. That is the biggest door I think I've ever seen. Man, I hope that thing's unlocked. Just give it a... Oh, there we go. Well, that was certainly ominous and borderline cartoonishly long. But this is the place. Let's see if we can find the shopkeeper somewhere. I think the coin hall guy said his name was Nick? Ah, sir. Are you Nick? How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, thanks. Welcome.
Excellent. So you're going to get us sorted out here with some dashboard calibrations. The first one, and really the only one this ship has, is the pylon board. So I assume you're the guy to talk to about this.
Yes, definitely. You come to the right place.
Very good, very good. So how does this all work?
Yeah, well... I jumped into Pylon quite early on, and then, you know, I just felt like we needed to visualize what was going on inside the engine room, because, you know, they had these numbers, they went up and down during the day, people staked, unstaked, but you couldn't really see, like, what's going on, how has it looked, and how might it look in the future. So I decided to sit down, figure out how this these Terra APIs worked out, and take some data out and, you know, put them in some charts.
And you had some sort of like code experience before this, or were you like learning this and teaching yourself as you went?
No, I've been coding for more than 20 years now. So the coding part I knew how to do, but the Terra space was kind of new for me. So a lot of learning still.
And is that just the Rust language, or is there other aspects of the blockchain that are a little different than what you were used to?
Well, the whole smart contract thing is still something that I'm looking into. But yeah, it was, you know, figuring out which REST APIs to use, figuring out when I was abusing them and got kicked off due to, you know, sending too many requests and, you know, fiddling around, figuring out messages and all that.
Too much bandwidth, too many requests,
yeah.
Stop it. I need the data, I need it. And that's cool, because there's so many of these different farms and protocols popping up, and some of them do a decent job. I just noticed, I think this morning, the Nexus released a new update on their dashboard, and it now shows you like how much value you have in there and everything, which I don't believe it showed before. So it's cool to see that sort of evolution happen. A lot of people in this space are super like data analytics driven, and so to not have the tools to be able to easily visualize that is definitely a pain in the butt sometimes.
Yeah, best part or the worst part is actually that, you know, all the data is right there on chain. Somebody just have to like get it out and put it in some dashboards, which, I mean, of course you need to know how to code them and stuff, but once I get started on it, it wasn't actually that bad. So I hope that more projects will start doing it, or maybe we will have to do that in the Pylon board team.
Yeah, expand them out. I would love to see just a whole Pylon board lit up with all of the different protocols I need to be tracking, rather than right now I basically just like open up Chrome and then just load all the browser pages and then just kind of go through them one by one with no real like flow to the overall picture of what's in there. And I mean, you can use things like 8board and stuff, but I don't know, I never really enjoyed that. The interface was nice, but it never like loaded that well. And I have a very short attention span. So like if your page isn't loading, like I'm already on to the next one.
yeah, exactly. And I mean, Pylon board also serves a little different purpose than us. I mean, it's for tracking your own portfolio, where this is more like insight into the entire protocol, in this case, Pylon, right? Well, how's everybody behaving? How big are the biggest whales that are staking, and these sort of things, which you wouldn't see on Apple necessarily.
And that's super interesting information, because a lot of people, at least like me, that really don't have a very strong investor prowess or anything, like we just see things and we ape, you know, and some of that research that goes into our choices whether or not to ape is who else is aping, you know, like are big smart wallets aping, or is it just a bunch of flippers ape? Like what's the overall feel of it? Because that's going to tell me how easily I can sleep at night and have my stuff, you know, in there and not have to pull it out every night, because I think a bunch of people are just going to dump it while I'm sleeping, you know. That's no fun.
Yeah, exactly. And actually, another thing that kind of drove me to do it was that I was really active on the Telegram, Pylon Telegram group, where I'm also a co-admin now. But there was a lot of, what you would call it, drama around the collaboration with Prism and the Prism Scout. And, you know, there was a lot of angry people there. And it seemed like everybody was just unstaking and leaving. And then I thought, okay, let's have a look. How many people are actually leaving? And it turned out that there was a lot of noise from a very small amount of people who unstaked. And then I think it was like 5 to 10 million mine. And it was sucked immediately by the whales and restaked. So I thought, okay, if they're doing it, I'm going to stay behind and figure out what this is all about and how it's going to look in the coming months. So that was another major reason for Bill actually looking into the data in the first place.
Yeah, that's super important, because I'm in a lot of these same servers, and it's amazing how fast FUD spreads without any sort of like reference or backing. Like all it takes is a few people to come in there and just be like, oh my God, everyone's unstaking, they're dumping it. And then like nobody will look, and perhaps there's not a great spot to look until you created this. But people just followed suit, you know, and then you could see it, real world consequences, just watching that chart dump back when it was up at 20 and dumped down to 10. And like that server, I feel like if people would have had this data easily visualized, it would have been a great tool for the mods and the community themselves to have, to be like, look, it's not that bad. It's a bunch of people that had like 100 minds, you know, like it's always those people that do seem to be the loudest when it comes to this stuff. And then that has that ripple effect that just starts causing more and more people to kind of follow suit.
Yeah, exactly. So the do your own research part is not that strong with people, it seems.
Yeah, no kidding, for sure. Even like you could lay out a frequently asked questions page and it could be the most perfect page ever. And unless you like read it to them, they're like still not going to read it themselves. It's crazy.
Yeah.
We're all investors though, so it's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
So take me through some of the different sections on the Pylon board. I guess what's the one that you're most interested in? Like which one do you spend most of your day staring at, or do you just cycle through a bunch of them?
Yeah, actually, yes, I cycle a lot, but in the beginning, the ones that were really interesting to me was actually let's start with the buyback distribution page, because a lot of the questions we got on the Telegram was also like, people came in and they said, yeah, I didn't receive any money back and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, again, with math and stuff, it's like the APR was 20% a year, I think. So people didn't realize that the weekly amounts they would get were probably going to be quite low. So what I built on that page was I looked at the buyback transactions. And in order to save gas fees, they don't actually record a, you know, transaction on chain when they distribute the money. So I kind of in the back end, I look at the amount of mine bought in that transaction, and then I distribute it to the stakers that were staking at that point, which means I actually made a virtual page where you can see the buybacks that you should have received if you enter your wallet address. And I built that for me because I got tired of tracking my portfolio in a spreadsheet, and I thought maybe other people would want the same, right?
Definitely. I mentioned that in the chat earlier. Like that's a lot of projects that we chat with. That's where they came from. It's like, I needed this, so I built it because nobody else built it. So here we go. And then like they give it out to their friends, and then sometimes their friends are like, hey, this is cool. Like share it with the community, like with in CoinHall's case. And then, yeah, people just start. It just spreads. If it's good, you know, the community will decide. And if it's something they want to use, like, yeah, it works good. It looks good. I can see this definitely once it gets into some more hands. I mean, I'm sure a ton of people use it. This is really slick. I just put my address in here and like, yeah, it's all right there.
Exactly. Yeah. So there are estimates, right? So there should be, might be a couple of mine off here and there, but like total picture, it's pretty accurate actually. And so that page I used a lot now with the buybacks being halted for a while. It's not that interesting, but it'll come back and the new treasury will look a bit different, and I'll have to, you know, we'll have to make some updates to show what the new treasury brings. But I mean, this is definitely a page that to me is quite nice, like a nice tool for every staker basically to see what's going on.
And that'll change, like you said, once the APY gets resorted. Because I know right now it's at 0% because it's going into that other fund. You probably won't see a whole lot of activity. And that's another question I keep seeing in the Telegram server is, why is my mine not increasing? And then the immediate link to the governance vote. It's like, if you read this, you would know exactly why.
And the best part is that it's on the staking page now as worldwide holded, and still people fail to see it.
Yeah,
that's just how it is.
Yep. You could put it right up front. They'd have to click OK on it to get to the rest of the content, and they would still ask. It's just the world we created.
Exactly. They would probably just think it was one of those we use cookies things and just click it away, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, half of me faults the way that notifications have been used. I feel like people have gotten a lot of notification fatigue. And so I know, like, we're dealing with finances and stuff, and like everybody should take that responsibility to like read what they're doing. But like, part of me is like, yeah, but like none of us read shit unless it's something we're actively seeking out, especially if it's a pop-up or something like that, just because of how we've been conditioned. So I'm kind of torn on that, but I definitely agree. Like, people need to like do more reading. You see this so much every day in multiple servers, like all day happening.
Exactly. So, but if we should talk about another page, and one that also was actually used a little bit before we actually launched PylonBot.money, I built two prototypes in Google Data Studio where we analyzed some of the gateway pools in order to figure out if new gateway pools should have mind gates on. So one thing we looked at was the stake percentiles page on the mine dashboard, which shows, you know, how many wallets are in the top 1, top 5, top 10%.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which, I mean, it's a defi and all, but when you look at the amount of mine staked in top 1 or even top 5, you can kind of see that the idea that it's distributed is nice, but in reality, it's not really distributed. The top sits on, what is it, like 90% of all the mine, right? And I think I would see a similar picture looking at the other protocols. Now, I only had the time to do it here, but my gut feeling is that it's the same on all of them. There are a few people with a lot of money that just buy it up and they wait.
Do you think that's just a product of how these launches go and because of the amount of time that has passed since launch? Like, maybe it hasn't had the time to get more distributed throughout the rest of the ecosystem, or is that just kind of a flaw in the design of how these launch pads are doing it?
Yeah, I'm actually not sure if it's just how capitalism works, right? You know, people panic, they start selling. The ones with enough liquid money, they buy it up because maybe they believe in the project long term. They know that it's going to go up again. So maybe it just happens because it happens. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's interesting how that kind of organic stuff happens, whether or not it's being like guided one way or the other.
Yeah, exactly. Another thing we used this page for was preparing everybody for the linear airdrops and for the retroactive airdrop, right? Because you can see that we have like, what is it? Some 10, 15,000 people sharing like 30 million mine, right? So again, learned from the scout thing that a lot of the people with not that big stakes, they shout a lot. We kind of used like, I think, a month telling people to be real about it. Go look here. If you're not staking 10 to 100,000 mines, don't expect too much, right? And it actually ended out pretty well in the Telegram group. People didn't go bonanza when they finally got the airdrop. So that was also a pretty nice tool, actually.
Yeah, that's super. Because like that stuff is so relative. Like, what's a lot of money to us might not be a lot of money to other people, and vice versa. And so when people feel like they've put a lot of their worth into something and then they don't get very much back, like if you don't have a good way to visualize that, like it's hard to explain that to them and to get them to understand. It's like, yo, this is based on how much you put in, and like, sure, it's a lot to you, but like, look at the top, like look at the top wallets. Exactly. You're not putting in a drop in the bucket compared, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And it's just crazy how big the difference is in available money around the world, right? But yeah, we can't fix that here.
I agree. It's cool to see the DeFi space like trying to bank the unbanked and everything, but then at that same time, you do still see the same old shit you see in like the old bank systems, where like a few people have a grip of the money and pretty much run shit. And I mean, we can be as decentralized as we can be, but until that sort of redistribution happens, or someone comes up with a protocol that like everyone just puts their shit in and then it divvies it up somehow, you know, like there's always going to be that issue.
Exactly.
It's just humanity. I like you got the other, all the gateway pools here, White Whale and Nexus and Glow and everything. And that's all just data pooled in right from the gateway pool API on Pylon.
I'm actually pulling it from the smart contracts instead. So I'm using the Terra FCD API, I think it's called, and I'm querying the contracts and looking at all the transactions that have been happening, and I stored it in the database. So I'm pulling it out from on-chain data instead.
So is that how it loads so fast? Because this is like really snappy. And usually with like Web3 stuff, you're waiting a minute, especially if it's like NFTs and everything, because images. But like this loads really quick.
Yeah, so I'm a Web 2.0 guy, right? So I have a traditional API and a Postgres timescale enabled database where I'm storing everything. And, we have caching and stuff. So I wanted it to be fast. And, I did the... what I shouldn't have done, I launched this on Christmas Eve, right? And then I went with my family to have a great time. And then, everything just died.
Came back to just burning fire.
Exactly. So the 25th, I was busy fixing stuff. And we've also had some problems with the hosting, which is all sorted out now. So now it runs really smoothly. But yeah, I'm, pulling everything out. So I have full control of like the server scale and latencies, because unlike you, I'm impatient. Everything above a second or two in load time, I start getting like really annoyed.
Yeah.
So
that shit adds
up. I want this to be super fast.
I love it. Love it. Looks really cool too. What other pieces are you like super interested in that you really keep coming back to on this?
Yeah, so actually, with the statistics and all, it's fun in the beginning, right? And then it kind of, and I can also see that in our visitor traffic, right? It kind of gets boring because it's not that much that happens in a week or 2 weeks, right? Then a new pool launches, then it's fun to watch it for a week or so. How does the deposits work out and stuff? But so we're actually working on some new features to kind of keep people entertained on the site or like coming back to the site, right? So that's why we have the Terra Connect, as you might have seen in the corner. So very soon we're actually launching a page where you can see all the pools that you have deposited to. So you can come in here and get some relevant info just for you. And we're planning on extending on that later on with more things for you when you connect with Terra Station.
Do you have any plans to open this up to other chains and kind of do like what an 8 board is doing, but one that you don't have to wait all day for it to load?
Yes, we're indeed. A lot of the things in the backend are built so they're ready to do the same things for other protocols in Terra at first. But I guess anything Cosmos would be fairly easy given that the language and the contracts look similar. One step at a time. And I think I want to bring a really good experience to Pylon first. And then after that, we can start looking into adding other protocols.
Oh, that's awesome. I love it when great pieces of software like this start on Terra and then eventually branch out to other chains. Because I feel like for me, like UST is the way to get Luna like really going. And the more of these chains that we can get UST on, like the better. And just being like a maxi on one chain, like, I mean, that's cool and all if that's your thing. But like, if you really want to succeed and do and like unleash the full capability of like what this stuff that is being built is able to do, like you have to get mass adoption. And the only way to do that is to seamlessly make it interoperable with all of the different chains, I think. I love this page with the biggest mine wallets. It's so great. So much good data. Yeah. Hell yeah. What crypto did you get your start in? Was Terra like your first jaunt or were you into it before that?
No, I've been into it before that. I think I started back in, what was it, 16, 17 with the Bitcoin craze. I got lucky there with Bitcoin and Ripple. And,
nice.
When it all contracted in 18, I kind of just ignored it for the whole year. And then in March 19, I started back up again, adding funds, getting into leverage and margin trading and all. And then, the COVID crash came of March 2020. And that was very painful.
I feel that. It's interesting, like the two stories you hear in this space, either you got your start in 2017 or you started in 2020 with this stuff. And I'm still amazed because in 2017, I thought I was super late. And then like here, I'm still seeing people that like Terra's their first ecosystem, which, man, that's awesome for them not having to experience what was going on with all of the ICO shit coins in 2017 and 18 and then watching everything crash to like a penny or under. And they just got to skip all that, and they come right into this ecosystem with all these amazing protocols and everything, which I think that's awesome. But yeah, I'm still blown away that like we're still getting people that this is their first experience, and they didn't have any of that experience prior to like before. It's so crazy to me.
Yeah, it is. And what I see now in a lot of the Telegram groups are like the way people panic now when there is a red candle on the graphs, how I reacted back in, you know, when I started up, right? So getting a beating in 2020 was really good, because I started, you know, actually trying to learn more about trading and financial instruments and slowly bought my way back in. And then in the summer 2021, a friend told me Terra, and then I aped.
That's awesome. We all have that one friend that was like, this is the spot. My friend was Luna Luke, Kevin. He got me into ADA in 2018. And then I was playing around with like Poe and what was the other one? Fun coin. Cause I was like, oh, gambling token, that's going to pop. Sure. And then, yeah, they all just crashed. And he was the one that was like, don't ever sell ADA. Like that's the one that's going to go. And then a few years went by and he told me about Terra. And when he told me he sold all his ADA to go into Terra, I knew. I was like, all right, he's not messing around. Like I should probably follow suit. And then it crashed to like 5, and I was like, well, that was fun. Good game, boys. But yeah, pretty amazing. You don't see the community that we have established here in these other ecosystems as much. And I mean, with Angel and Anchor and everything being these cornerstones, like you don't have those things, I feel like, in other ecosystems. And it really serves a great worth here for letting people be able to build all these other cool protocols on top of it.
Yeah, exactly. That's also what kind of drove me in seeing the products being built, and they're like wanting to be real world usable instead of just meme coins and stuff like that. That's really what set it aside from other chains, and why I decided to just take everything I could and go in, because it really is nice, I think.
It seemed like for a while there, the only things that were coming out were just different variations on tokenomics. Like they're like mostly in ETH and BSC, but people were like, oh, this one's got a 4% and 2 goes back to the holders and 2 gets burned. And then this one's got 8% and it gives you rewards. And it was like, you're just rehashing like the same contract pretty much. There's no like real world use to this. You're just playing musical chairs with people's money at this point.
Exactly.
It's super cool to see the actual tools here being developed and used, and like stuff like Kado being able to like order shit from Amazon using UST. Like that's so huge, especially for those of us that live and work in the ecosystem. You know, it's a pain in the ass to turn those USTs into USDs or whatever your native currency is. So to have a ramp like that you can just like, you know, use your USTs right there, man, that's so cool. I hope to one day just be able to pay rent and everything else that way.
Yeah, that's the dream, right? No more fiat that you have to convert your USD to UST instead to pay. That would be the bomb, right?
That's the end game. That's the goal. One of them. One of many. So
exactly.
What other...
And also,
yeah, go ahead.
I'm looking forward to Cash.io as well. They're promising Visa in Europe with the UST, and I'm, you know, based here in Europe. So I'm very impatiently waiting for them to release the cards so I can start spending my UST without having to off-ramp them and stuff like that. I think that's going to be a major game changer for UST adoption as well, when more of these just use it in the real world directly with no fuss. That's going to be awesome.
Oh yeah. Even if you like, you don't even make a focus on like, oh, it's blockchain, it's DeFi, it's all this. Like to normal people, you just say, here's a card that'll give you like 10%. And then take the other 10 or 5 or whatever Anchor ends up being and put it back into the protocol. But like, they don't need to know that. All they need to know is that they're getting 10%, which is like 8% more than what they were ever getting before by all these legitimate banks.
Exactly. And actually here where I live, if you have more than, what is it, $15,000 saved up, you actually pay a negative interest rate for your bank. So, I mean, it's infinity times more interest rate in Anchor than what I'm getting here in the bank system. So, yeah.
That's amazing. It's even more amazing to me how long that has like been allowed to just go on unchecked for, like, because nobody's ever had these tools, I guess, or had the the thought to, like, you know, there could be a different way, because it's been so traditional and so ingrained in how all of us in all these different regions have been brought up. It's like, yeah, you have your bank and your savings account that doesn't really do shit, and that's life.
Yeah.
What other protocols are you into? Do you degen, or do you prefer the safer routes, or what are you excited about in the ecosystem?
I think I'm doing a bit of both. I got into the IDO of Nexus, and then I just aped in with a lot of Luna in their NSF pools, which was fun when PSI was at 0.50, but now that it's at 0.05, the IL on my NSF farms is just, they're hurt. So I just opened the page to claim, and then I go away again.
Yeah, that. I feel that pain. I feel it.
Yeah, and then I think just before Christmas, I also found this thing called Wonderland with the MIM and time. And then I, you know, bought a little bit of time and staked it for, 82,000% API. yeah.
That's unsustainable, right?
Yeah, not at all. So that's just like a 1% of my portfolio. I put it there. I'm going to leave it for the year. And then come Christmas, I'm going to see if I have a big Christmas present or a zero waiting for me. So.
That's awesome. I love that you have the ability to only do like a percent, as I feel like some people put in like a little bit and then they see that percentage and then they're like, well, here's the rest of it. And then they get hurt real bad.
Yeah, that's the margin calls from 2020 there. Yeah. They're holding me still. So that was a good lesson.
Oh, I feel that. Still got some BlackBerry stock. Poor BlackBerry didn't even have nothing to do with any of that shit, and it got caught up in all of it, man. That was the worst.
Exactly. So, and then, yeah, I'm pretty excited about Angel Protocol as well, actually. I've had up to 50% of my Luna stake with their validator for a while. Took a little bit of it back again, but I think that looks really promising. Also did the boot swap, and yeah.
Yeah, I like Halo. I definitely love what Angel does with the endowments for the nonprofits and everything. Like, just having that as a cornerstone of the ecosystem as well is just super awesome. It just gives it that whole vibe of like, yeah, we can make money and we can also give it back and make that money, make money for people that maybe can't make money. You know, like it's a whole cycle that people help. It's awesome.
Yeah. Exactly. And then, yeah, just following along on, you know, I also think I joined Osmosis a couple of weeks back, some farming there, trying to get my Luna to get, you know, I want more Luna, right, like everybody else. So diversifying a little bit in the Cosmos ecosystem, but yeah, I'm mostly focusing on Terra. I mean, just keeping track in Terra is almost impossible.
I feel that.
Day job, so.
I feel that. It's like 3 day jobs here for me, just trying to record all these spaces.
Yeah.
I say they're like having a competition or something, because all of a sudden everyone wanted to do weekly spaces now, and sometimes they all do them on the same day, and I'm just like, you guys. It's awesome, though. I love it, for sure.
Yeah.
The other network I was looking into, it was Secret Network. I just thought that had really interesting ideas behind it as far as privacy on blockchain, because blockchain's like this big public ledger, and you know, nobody knows Satoshi, or if it's a dude or a group of dudes or whoever. And there's no real, like, I mean, wallets are out there, easily tracked, and I feel like that's cool and all, but like, we should embrace some sort of privacy standards and everything. So that one was super interesting to me. But other than that, yeah, it's just been like, try to keep up with all the Terra stuff.
Yeah. Actually, I had a discussion today with a colleague who asked me what this new Web3 craze was all about. Why does everything have to be a blockchain? Why should all data be remembered forever and be public? He was like, we should forget more data. We should delete more data. I don't want everything to be there for all eternity. And I think he has a point. Like, not everything should be, you know, built on a blockchain. Not all products have a use case for, you know, for immutable data stores and public scrutiny. I mean,
yeah, I agree. Like, you get to a point where it almost feels like people are forcing this to work with blockchain, when like it could easily work on Web2 tech and just do like some not decentralized, but like, what do they call them? The CDAs, CDNs, like just use those. And then you're not on one server, you're distributed, you know, it's, and it works better. And I get why they do it. Like it's hot right now. So everybody wants to like make something on blockchain, on Web3. But yeah, I fully agree. Like it doesn't all have to be on there for sure.
No, then you just end up with these tokens that are, I mean, we need to have a token because we're on blockchain. What can you use it for? I don't know.
Hold it. Yeah, just buy it. Yeah. You can stake it and then get more of it.
Exactly.
Yeah. But then I also, on the other side of that, I feel like there's huge industries just waiting to get the shit disrupted out of them. Music industry is one I keep coming back to. I like to dabble in making rap music and shit. And like, releasing your stuff through CD Baby is awesome because it's, for me, like it's just a hobby. It's something I do when I'm not working. So to have that service and be able to just pay them like, you know, $150, $160 to get your music on like iTunes and Google, YouTube, all that shit, and me not have to worry about it. Like, that's cool. But like, you're not, I get like a check for, you know, like $50 every like year and a half or something. And I mean, I'm not like popular by any means, but like, I feel like you should, like, they're taking a lot of that royalty before it gets to you. And this blockchain tech is perfect for that. I mean, this, the way like you can get an NFT and then stake it and get yields off of that. Like, it's literally you buy an MP3, stake it, and the yields like go to the artists. You know, like there's so many ways to kind of divvy that stuff up once you start thinking in those terms. And same with like movie industries and stuff like that. Just for how long movies take to get made, you know, you could take that budget, stick it in Anchor or stick it in wherever. And by the time your movie's done, like you've generated a whole bunch of yield, kind of what the idea Minerva's doing with the wine, because it takes a certain amount of time and to make the wine. And so when you have that built in time delay, you can utilize that to make yield, as long as you obviously have the tools and protocols in place to do that.
Good ideas, actually.
yeah. The first time I heard of Minerva when we interviewed him on the show, I was like, man, that could apply to like so much stuff, like growing weed, growing regular crops, like anything that has a time delay built in. I thought that was super, super cool idea. How do you mess around with Loop much? They seem to have been popping up lately.
I'm in the gateway pools and I've been farming a little bit. And then I've been, speaking of DGen, I've been, you know, sucking up Loop R tokens when they were like on a fire sale for like 0.00 or whatever.
Oh, nice.
Because it seemed like people missed the point that when you were holding a Loop R, you would get Loop airdrops. So I've just been accumulating Loop R at, you know, whatever discount. And now, yeah. That's starting to kick up and the airdrops are starting to kick up. Loop is going up. So I think that's pretty nice. I think one problem they have still is that the liquidity is still kind of low compared to Astroport and TerraSwap. So you have a lot of slippage in large orders, but hopefully they will get that, you know, resolved in the next couple months.
You got to feed the R-bot somehow.
Exactly.
I feel like CeFi kind of blew that shit up a while back for everybody. Like there was some pretty good ARB opportunities there. And then he started like hyper focusing on it. And then all of a sudden those opportunities, you could just watch like totally non-existent now. And I guess some of that has to do with like, you know, new pools coming into play and everything. But yeah, it was funny watching that.
Yeah, the B-Luna app has been looking really juicy. I heard about it too late. But yeah, I think new opportunities are popping up with the liquid pools, actually, on Pylon, where you deposit, you get a DP token back, and then that token you can sell on the market to exit your gateway position, basically. And at least for the Nexus pool, that has been pretty volatile since the launch in December. So there are still ways to up.
Are you excited about Prism? I hear a lot of talk about that. People are stoked on this whole refracting idea.
Yeah, definitely. I'm still crunching through the white paper. I want to try and understand it. But from what I hear and read on Twitter so far, it seems pretty awesome, actually. Also, if it holds true that you can just stake the Y Luna and you can get the airdrop rewards and stuff, I think I saw that mentioned in the white paper. But I have to read it again and sure that I've understood it correctly, because that seems like really crazy,
almost too good to be true.
Exactly. What's the catch, right?
Yeah. we're going to give you these tokens in trade, and they're going to maybe blow up in like 6 months.
And exactly might what go I would to be zero. Afraid of, right?
Yeah, exactly. These one in a thousand tokens actually just detonates your wallet and drains it. So, I mean, how gambly do you want to go?
Yeah. So, yeah, that looks interesting. I think it's a shame, though, that they scrapped the Pylon Scout go live with Pylon. But
what was
that? Something goes in crypto. Yeah, well, they had originally they had a plan to go live through Pylon Gateway with the Pylon Scout. But I know Prism, they built the smart contract for it, so they probably just look at it and made the Prism Forge, which seems to be an updated version of it, and went with that instead. But it was supposed to go live through Pylon.
Nice. The one I've been really digging into lately is Meow and the Luna HODL, because they let you take Luna and B-Luna and you make an LP with that, and then you take Luna and UST and you make an LP with that, and then you stake both of those LPs to combine. Like, I don't know if it's worth it yet. Like, I'm still taking screenshots and comparing every day and all that, but like, it seems like a pretty cool idea. And the people I've talked to about it, like, I guess nobody knows who these devs are, but like, it's a pretty solid platform, and it's an interesting idea for how small of a market cap it has. Like, they let you do orders and stuff like that for a bit now.
That sounds crazy. I actually haven't looked into that at all.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Check it out and tell me if I'm like wasting my my Luna B Luna stake. I'm so like caught up in audio editing. I just want somewhere I can just let my shit stay and I don't have to worry about it. And so like this one of the onboarders showed it to me and they're like, check this out. You can LP your LP. I was like, oh my God, this might be the one.
Yeah. Cool. So it's meowtrader.com, right?
Yeah. MIAW.
Yeah. Okay, I found it. I'll go
there. Yeah, the LP tower. But yeah, it's interesting. It doesn't work. If you go to provide the LP, it defaults to Astroport on the little selector. So you have to switch that back to TerraSwap. Otherwise, it won't show up in the tower. But yeah, once you do that for each one, it'll show up in the tower. And then you can add those as one LP. And then, yeah, see if it's worth it or if I'm just being stupid here, which is definitely a good possibility.
Interesting. Cool.
Hell yeah. Well, is there anything else about the Pylon board you want to mention that we didn't get a chance to, or any new features you want to drop a little alpha on before?
Yeah, well, as mentioned, we have the upcoming MyPylon gateways, where you can see all the gateways that you have deposited to. You can do that on ApeBoard as well, but we're also tracking all the rewards that you have claimed, which means, and I don't think ApeBoard does that, it only shows you the outstanding claim balance.
Yeah, that's cool.
So on that, we could add some, return on investment calculations and stuff to show you how well you could have been doing if you didn't sell your tokens when you claimed them, for example, to get people to hold a little bit. And then I'm thinking about adding, deeper insights into the rewards that you've been given for being part of mine. Like, the buyback distribution is one thing, but the airdrops that you're getting, the upcoming GFI fund where you will get some airdrops, everything is on chain, but getting it out there, opening it up, looking at UST values, showing you how much you accumulate per week, per month, per year, stuff like that, which again would apply to many other protocols if we stretch it a little bit. So that's definitely coming. I don't know when. It's going to take a lot of time to build it, and this is part time, but that's definitely some features I want to add to give you as an individual on the page some relevancy, so you come back and use our software. I mean, there are no ads or anything, so we don't really, we don't make money for you using it, but I just want to build some tools that, people want to use and come back and use. I'm also considering adding, LP, the liquidity provider insights, because I know people are doing that in spreadsheets, which is silly when you have all of the data on chain. So why not build a tool for that? It seems straightforward, but I guess there are dragons, which is why there are no tools yet for it. But,
there are always dragons.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, speaking of dragons, my egg is nesting now in Levana, by the way. I don't know if you got around to that.
Oh, yeah. I was able to, I got like, I think 13 meteors, and I got two rares, and the rest were commons, because I don't ball like that. But I cracked my one rare and got dust, and then I just started cracking the commons, and I got an egg, and I was like, oh, this is awesome. So then I just saved the rest of my meteors, because I didn't know, like, maybe they'd have some sort of use, or maybe they'd be worth something. I don't know. I was like, I have a dragon egg. That's all I need. So I got one rare meteor, and then, like, three or four common meteors still just chilling, and then I nested my egg. And it was weird because I saw like all these posts about people searching out particular dust vials, and I was like, shit, I don't even know what mine is. Like, I didn't have time to look into any of that. I just knew I got an egg, and so I just went to the site and I was like, I wonder if it'll just let me do it. And it did, and I was like, holy shit, I didn't have to buy any extra dust or nothing. Now I have all this extra dust for whatever. I don't know, I'll save it for something. But yeah, that whole thing was cool, man, the way they did that.
Yeah, it was. I got three ancient meteors, and then only one of them became an egg. And then I sold the two vials I couldn't use, and I bought a vial for nesting it. So that's nice with these NFT marketplaces now.
Super excited talking
about dragons.
Sorry. Yeah. That watching that meteor shower thing and how it just proliferated through Twitter, and like people went crazy for that shit. Some people stayed up like for the whole thing. Like if there was a history book of how to like launch your protocol, they would definitely be in it. That was definitely epic.
That was really cool.
So many mints. So many.
Exactly.
Like 44,000 or something. That yeah. And then just to see like Terra like not even flinch, you know, you see like Cardano just crawling to a halt when things happen like that big on it, and same with Solana and stuff. And like Terra handled it pretty good, I think.
I think the Call 5 upgrade did a lot of magic. I did experience some lag on the Call 4 back in July and August. So but it's nice to see that it, you know, it's holding up to this kind of pressure.
Yeah, looking forward to see where they take that, because the lore is cool. Everybody, I mean, I feel like even before Game of Thrones, but Game of Thrones probably solidified it for the rest of the people that, like, yeah, dragons are cool. Like, we're all uncivilized beasts at heart. Like, this is awesome. And yeah, they just kind of personified that in a mint and this game that they're doing. Super cool.
Yeah, it really is.
Hell yeah. Well, cool, man. I think our dashboards are good to go now. I appreciate the walkthrough and the collab and the diagnostics and all that. You're doing amazing work with this. This is super cool info.
Thanks.
And everybody, definitely check it out. Pylonboard.money. If you need to get your dashboards set up, check it out there. Very cool info. And yeah, looking forward to all the cool stuff you expand on it and everything, and possibly even getting on some other chains. Super cool. Nick from Pylon Board, it's been a pleasure, man. I'm going to get my bots and we'll get on out of here. I appreciate you, and we'll see you in the Telegram servers and everything else. For everybody else listening to these signals, beam down every now and again to Earth so you can pick them up from intern.capital. Definitely check it out. TerraSpaces.org. That's the site they live on. For TerraSpaces, I'm Finn. We'll catch you guys next time. Have a great week, everybody.
Hey, how's it going?
Good to see you.
Yeah. Star scanning left. to write large pen in my field of view, obscure by the last camp stand. In my shit pack, pass to the food in a knapsack. I take one last look at the planet that we ransacked. You can't take it back once the planet's moving back. Launch pad ready for the mission to the lunar map. Warp drive tested, lessons learned from explosions that shook the human race so bad. Now we're moving to our last chance to make a future that involves plans to evolve faster than we could before the great Drake equation solved. We're only type 1, hoping to be type 2, and one day control the stars like you know we're destined to. Right now we're destitute, looking just to rest our shoes, but our plan's blowing up, rockets blasting off soon. Are you on the arc, ticket punched, on way to the stars, or get left behind in the dust like a bunch of cars? Blast cap, dash into this death trap, crashing. I'm past the point of no return and back in a flash, catching cash, caps grazing for no payment when they clap mass. Pass Matt a little pinch and take one last blow. Get the point. Slice of spectrum fully inspected, direct a section of the populace with this little invention. No apprehension, appreciate the sap we crafted, wrap it in a pipe before you depreciate like a Jackson. I'm blowing these puzzles all apart, taking weeks to go all the cart, so muzzle up that mouth before you forget where you park. I'll rock a mic right down to the sedimentary layers, like every night inside the halls of my secret lair. People screaming hands up, waving in the air, people leaving, don't look back and take a nap, we're almost there. I hide and seek the truth inside the booth, busy body wandering through this swampy soup, so got me looting, boy, to say what not to shoot.
Spaces.